The views expressed on the following show may not be those of the hosts, guests, or WSPN Skidmore Radio. Talk Saratoga is produced by Saratoga Broadcasting Incorporated and may not be reproduced in part or in whole unless expressed written approval is given. Now, here are the hosts of Talk Saratoga, Rick Thompson and a Saratoga All-Star.
Good morning and welcome to Talk Saratoga on this rainy, rainy day. And I can't take it, but at least it's not freezing cold out. I want to welcome my co-host, Saratoga All-Star and Jack of All Trades and Master of None.
That's right.
Pat Kane. Morning, Pat.
How are you, Rick?
Good. A little more comedy than,
than
the last time. Hey, we're going to talk about an issue today that
if you want
to. You know, we want to
get
people interested in the election that is coming up in November. And at this point, I don't even know if anybody is paying attention to who's running it. Okay?
They should be, but that's generally the case.
Really.
Everybody has there a lot of other things to deal with, and they move along, and politics tends to take a back seat for quite some time, and then all of a sudden it springs upon us as we get to the fall.
Yes, and what we're going to do today, we're going to be like Sly and the Family Stone.
End of the spring,
and we're going to talk a little bit about Family Affair.
Oh, yes.
Okay? That's right. So I'm going to turn it over to you, and we're going to talk a little bit about Family Affair before the candidates.
That song quite well.
Yeah, it was a great decade, I'll tell you. I was a lot younger, too.
Well, you know, Rick, using that theme of Family Affair, you know, you have to wonder, you know, the family business, so to speak, when it comes to politics. And Saratoga Springs, I think, could start with somewhat of a mini-series and appear on HBO. We've got so many comical situations going on, not only now, but, you know, in the past decades, we've had a lot of humorous type things. If you're reading the novel, however, when you're involved in it, you kind of wonder how could this possibly happen in a city like this. And by that, I mean, you know, everything from the political parties themselves to certain candidates and family members, you know, influencing, you know, their time in City Hall. It's rather humorous because I just can't believe it. And that nobody is aware of it.
You're right.
And it's just, I mean, you sit back and you start, you know, just recently, as we know, there is one primary in June.
Yes.
And so people will start hearing quite a bit about it. There has been, you know, a little bit of energy getting out there to get signatures for candidates for November. But more importantly, there's also candidates that are part of this June primary as well.
But, well, you know, and that's one of the things. I mean, that's one thing that bothers me that the state did, and because of early voting, they moved the primary up from September to June, which doesn't give a candidate that's running against an incumbent much time to come out and say what they're for or keep letting people know what their platform is. But in any case, we do have a June primary.
Well, it took everybody by surprise, quite frankly. And then on top of it, you know, you're out there collecting signatures for candidates, and there's snow on the ground, which as a person who may or may not be out there looking for signatures, that makes the job a lot harder because there's quite a few people that go to Florida, and they're not back yet. And then on top of it, there's, you know, just the logistics issue of navigating around through the neighborhoods and not able to crisscross across the lawns to make, you know, the contact a little easier, but it didn't. In essence, it's happening. I'm sure there's a good reason for it. I just haven't figured that out yet. But yeah, no, I brought up the point because, you know, the family affair or the family business, so to speak, really has a lot to offer this year, especially. And just looking back over time, but, you know, let's just look at the political parties first of all. The political party that you know, has the most people in City Hall is the Democratic Party. I'm not a Democrat. I'm a Republican. And you're what, an independent?
I'm an independent.
Yeah. And So, but, you know, the Democrats, for example, now have gotten, you know, all stirred up over, you know, a variety of different reasons. You know, their candidates that are incumbents, obviously, you know, are looking for success in November. But what I'm also hearing now is that some of the back story of kind of the infighting in the political parties. You've had, you know, obviously you've got Michelle Madigan, who has an opponent in the June. Her name is Patty Morrison. You've also got Kendall Hicks, who is the only person that's running for public safety from a Democratic side. So he does not have to have a primary. But from what I understand is the Democrats have not endorsed him.
And that's very odd.
Why is that?
I think that I had heard, and we'll get into this a little later, that the Republicans, if Michelle Madigan wins the primary, are going to back her. The Republicans will back a Democratic candidate. And I think that...
Is that because of now... Someone told me that there was a candidate running for the Republicans for finance.
Yes.
And when his petitions were turned in, they were all dismissed because of inadequate...
Right. Not illegal, but not... following the Board of Elections rules and
so
regulations.
They threw the whole thing out? So he's no longer a candidate?
No, he's no longer a candidate.
So what can they do about Madigan?
They would just endorse her, the Republicans. If she wins the primary, it would be a cross endorsement.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't under... I mean, this is what I was told. Now, I could be entirely wrong.
Well, I know that his... I know that candidate was bounced from finance,
right?
And I don't think, because they have nobody running, you know, in years past the Republicans have nobody running either, and they've never done an endorsement.
No, I actually have never seen a cross endorsement in Saratoga.
Okay.
At least not coming out and saying it, you know,
nothing
on paper
formal.
And that, not informal.
We clearly know there's been some informal.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, this year's election in Balsam Spa, the Democratic candidate for mayor, the Republicans didn't endorse their candidate. They wanted to endorse the Democratic candidate for mayor. Okay. And he politely declined. He said that he appreciated it,
sure.
But, you know, he's a Democrat, and the only endorsement.
I know the process is there, and this potential candidate here in Saratoga Springs ran as a Republican,
mm-hmm.
or collected signatures, so they were bounced. So there is no Republican candidate there, or is there one up against John Frank? But there's only two and we have to talk a little bit about supervisors as well.
Sure.
But no, I find it odd that the Democrats have yet to endorse Kendall Hicks,
mm-hmm.
and I'm hoping for. I hope there's a good reason for it. I can't imagine what it may be, but there's such political infighting within the Democratic Party. It's quite frankly, it's a bit disturbing.
Well, it is. It's very disturbing to me. I don't know Kendall. I've never met him, although he's going to be on the show at some point in the future, but when you're the only candidate running under your party's banner, you would think that the party would support you. And the way that you do that first, not only financially, but the first way is to endorse your candidate. And by not doing so, it leads me to believe that there's an ulterior motive committee or the executive committee in not putting his name up for backing.
I mean, he had no... It's not like he had a primary. He collected, you know, the signatures required and more.
Right.
And now he's still not endorsed. I just find that... Do most people pay attention to it? No, of course
no.
not. They get in the booth, they look at Republican, Democrat, whatever line that they may be voting on, and they look at the person's name,
right.
and they vote or not. But, you know, it's kind of like this: the principle behind this. Here's a guy who, here's what the criteria is to do. But, you know, I'm hearing that because he's been more friendly to Patty Morrison than Michelle Madigan, you know, they're kind of giving him the cold shoulder.
Yeah.
I hope that's the reason. I hope there's nothing else underneath that because if you know, again, party leadership there, as far as I'm concerned, is really running onto the rocks. They've got their half of their committee against them. Madigan only clearly cleared the hurdle by about a minimum percent to get the endorsement. And you know, she doesn't even have the complete backing of her party, but yet the political party seems to want to play politics behind the scenes, and this has been going on for quite some time.
I mean, well, you know, there's always in Saratoga, it always seems like there's political games being played. Now, I always thought that when you had a primary, the party has two people. The winner of the primary is then the candidate that gets endorsed.
Right.
I don't think, but in Saratoga, they endorse a candidate before they go into the primary, which I don't understand why. I mean, because if the other candidate wins, now they don't have the endorsement of the party.
Well, you know, I think in particular in Madigan's case, you know, a couple of things. You know, and again, I'm going off, people on the committee that have told me, you know, some stories that kind of make your hair curl. Not that I have a whole lot left, but the idea was Patty kind of came into the race late. So I'll give the credit there that she kind of came into the race late.
Okay.
But still, nonetheless, that Saturday when they made their decisions, Patty had stepped forward. But she went about it. But also, Patty went around and collected signatures, and she outpaced. She was the number one signature gatherer in this year. So, I mean, obviously, you know, the woman's got some connections. She's out there, hardworking person, getting the signatures necessary to be on the ballot. But the thing about Hicks is the thing that scares me because, you know, you sit down and you think about this, and it doesn't take a genius to figure this out, that Hicks has paid more attention to Patty Morrison than to Michelle Madigan. So we're going to ostracize this guy. We're going to freeze him out. Is that the right thing to do? I mean, I look at it, and again, it goes back to the Democratic Party. There's a woman, and I don't know her first name, but I know her last name, and it sounds just like the city attorney's last name, too. I can't remember what his name is.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I think it's there was a famous inventor, Leonardo da Vinci, back in the Middle Days. But
but De Leonardis is her name.
De Leonardis,
I don't know what her first name is. But, you know, the big story is Mrs. De Leonardis. The big story is, you know, the family affair between City Hall and the Democratic Party. You know, you've got candidates now that are starting to appear that are not connected to City Hall, like Hicks and like Morrison and so forth. But they're given the cold shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And it just feels wrong when here's the city attorney who now works for a Democratic mayor.
Right.
Just given a $60,000 raise.
Mm-hmm.
Right. His wife is chairwoman of the Democratic Committee.
Party, right.
And yet, you know, they're constantly trying to, you know, give the cold shoulder to some of these, well, say newcomers. But I also look back and say, again, is this has something to do with the charter? I mean, you look at, you know, this is the same group that was vehement about letting the charter have any influence or any standing within the Democratic Party. But right. Be that as it may, I mean, it's kind of fishy. Hicks isn't endorsed. Madigan is running in a primary in June.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the De Leonardis connection here, which is just on the surface looks wrong.
Well, you know, I do, and not only that, but, you know, I want to get just make one comment on charter and then get back to this party thing. So much is made of, now, Kendall's opponent, Robin Dalton, was very, very anti-charter. I mean, very anti-charter. I don't know if it was on orders from her father-in-law, but she's a very anti-person.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
is charter on the ballot this year?
What's that?
I don't believe charter's on the ballot
this year. That I'm aware of, no.
All right, good.
But what I was going to say is that the charter lost by 10 votes with over 9,000 ballots cast, which, you know, I mean, it lost, whether it loses by 1 or by 10. Where in previous years, it lost by a 2-to-1 margin, you know, lost by 1,500, 2,000 votes, whatever. But she's making such a big deal that people overwhelmingly defeated changing the form of government. And I tend to worry when someone looks at a 10-vote loss as an overwhelming majority of voters did not want the charter change.
Well, speaking of family affair, Robin's family, real family, not the in-law family, has quite a checkered past as well. I mean, talk about exaggeration. Her father ran in the, I think, in the 80s I think it was 82 in Massachusetts, and we'll say exaggerated a little bit. His military experience, his education experience, his political standards. I mean, the guy was just run out of town, I thought, on a rail. I didn't even know about it. When I was in Massachusetts, I lived in Massachusetts until 94, 95, and I started to work for his campaign just as a volunteer. He was running against a guy by the name of Mitt Romney at that point. And, you know, he got trashed, of course, because his past came up, his exaggeration. And lo and behold, now he ends up just being indicted in New Jersey or Brooklyn District Court for fraud, for defrauding people to the tune of $11 million. Now, my understanding is that Robin's involved in that, too. You know, just again, what I understand it, she and her husband have gotten part of that gains of that's got to be repaid. Now, I'm not sure how true that is or not, but it certainly appears to be that this guy has got quite a checkered past, and maybe just like his daughter, he exaggerates a bit, too.
Sure. Well, not only that, but I mean, in this race, you know, when we talk about Kendall, like I said, I don't know Kendall. I never met him. But, I mean, if you compare resumes, the man was a 30-year National Guard officer. He served in Afghanistan. I think he knows about leadership, chain of command. And Robin's, you know, resume includes that she was a real estate agent. She was on Capitol Hill, which, you know, here again, did she visit Washington, D.C. and walk on Capitol Hill, or did she work there? She doesn't say what she did. She just says she was on Capitol Hill.
She had a hot dog stand over there by the corner.
That's right. And then she was a player in the Saratoga Living magazine and was let go from there just a little while ago. I don't know exactly when, but one of the reporters that told me that she was let go.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So you're looking at somebody with...
My understanding is that she's involved with this thing in Brooklyn court where she and her husband have to pay back, I think, $2 million of ill-gotten gains from her father's Ponzi scheme in New York, New Jersey area, who's been, you know, indicted several different times, and if he's not in jail yet, he will be in jail. But for Robin to question people's past, I mean, you know, she's got to probably stand up and face the music on that. Like, why are you having to pay back millions of dollars in a court case in New Jersey or in Brooklyn? What's that all about?
Well, I'm sure that'll come out in a debate.
I hope it does, because that seems pretty sketchy.
Well, there's a couple of things I think that'll come out in the debate, especially if Kendall doesn't get the Democratic endorsement.
Yeah.
They don't come out and endorse him. I think you're going to see a wild time in this race, especially when it comes time for League of Women Voters, events and different events where they have to go debate. I think you're going to see a lot of things come up that you really don't want to see in a local election. And I'm afraid that with the Republicans being in the same boat as the Democratic Party, and that's almost on a scale from 1 to 10, actually both parties now are hovering around a 2.
I agree.
I mean, they've lost any kind of sense of political savviness and getting candidates to run. I mean, that's been the biggest complaint about Saratoga politics is that it's the same old people.
Same thing.
And most of the candidates now, I think, except for the mayor and Peter Martin, have been in for over 10 years. Yeah. Now we've got new blood. Now we got different perspectives on things. Kendall Hicks was on Peter Martin's public safety committee to bridge the gap between that office and the citizens. So he's got experience working with people on police issues and fire issues. And so, you know, it's going to be something. And I think they've got a lot to answer to.
Well, you know, in politics as general, as I mentioned, this whole family affair, just go down the list. The mayor, her niece now works in City Hall. She was her campaign manager. Qualifications, I'm sure she'll do a lovely job, but it just doesn't look good or feel good that people transition from a political team like that right into a job within City Hall, whether it's for their family member or for somebody else. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't seem fair. You know, then you look at, obviously, the mayor's office, the DPW. I mean, it's riddled with I would consider some pretty inappropriate situations. Obviously, you've heard the saga of Mark Scirocco, who is charged with DWI, you know, back in February of 2018. Took him a year to finally come clean. He obviously pled to a lesser charge, but in the meantime, his father makes arrangements for him to be chauffeured around so that he can do his job. He's a water meter installer, a one-man job, but yet now needs to take two. Scirocco also brings his campaign manager, a guy who has absolutely no qualifications, brings him into an $85,000 plus benefit job, and he's still there. And he was his political campaign manager before right. that. He brings in the head of the Independence Party, a guy named
Eddie Miller.
Eddie Miller. He used to be an opponent of against Skip a few years
That's
back.
That's right, he ran against
But him. Because he controls all of the endorsements of the Independence Party, guess what? Eddie Miller's got a job in City Hall.
That's right.
Isn't it amazing?
And even before Skip announces he's going to run again, Eddie Miller's got his endorsement before he makes the announcement.
Yeah, and where's Eddie Miller? I mean, where's the Independence Party? I've never seen them have a meeting or, you know, I'd love to see their meeting minutes because I think they only are at the table at Eddie Miller's house because I don't think there's anybody who's ever involved in those decision-making processes.
That's right.
It's just like Ed decides based on political patronage, and that's what's running rampant in City Hall. I mean, you sit down and you think about it. It goes all the way through, you know, but obviously, Madigan's got, she's a loud squawker and she's squawking against with the Democratic Party. And of course, all the Democratic Party members are going to run and hide as best they can. But the people who are standing up, the Morrisons and the Hicks, they're the ones who are getting ostracized by the leadership of the Democratic Party. And it's just amazing how this process can continue.
Well, you know, when you talk about people running and hiding from Madigan, I run and hide from her too, as many citizens do, because she's not the nicest person. Oh. She's not the nicest person at the council table. If you're in the audience wanting to ask a question, she'll turn on you like a cobra. She's not nice to you when she's talking about you on social media or...
I saw what she did to you. She berated you, and insulted you, called you what I think are just inappropriate names.
Well, a friend of mine told me that since I'm not a public figure, that I've never run for office, or that borders on defamation, what she said to me. And I mean, you know, it'll come out, I'm sure, if not by anybody else, but I will make sure it comes out.
I think she's got conduct issues left and right.
Yeah. Well, she has problems. I mean, Michelle has problems.
Well, I will say one thing. A very, very close friend of mine was on a bus trip. Remember when the Women's March happened in, I think it was January of 2017. Yeah. So everybody buses down to the event, and, you know, they're told to meet back at a certain time. Well, guess what? Everybody gets back there except for two people, Michelle Madigan and Eileen Finneran. Together, they must have stumbled across a bar, because they got back in that bus and Michelle Madigan was ripped out of her mind. 2 hours, everyone had to sit there in the bus waiting for Michelle Madigan to get back from the event that she, of course, I'm sure represented herself as member of the council, right?
Sure.
But either way, I mean, she can still do whatever she wants, but to come in bombed out of your mind on a bus, making yeah. people wait 2 hours. And that was the thing when they said, let's not, we should just leave without him. Like, oh, no, it's, you know, she's a city councilwoman in Saratoga Springs. We can't not wait for her.
Right.
So, you know,
and I'm
that's
sure,
the kind of behavior she is.
Oh, she's known for. But, and I'm sure that Eileen was her designated driver. Because I think Eileen is a top-notch person.
I was surprised that, because I know they haven't been friendly, so I was surprised that they were
right.
together.
Right. I was surprised that Eileen backed out of because there would have been a primary in the public safety spot with Kendall, and I was surprised that Eileen backed out because I do like her and Bill an awful lot. So anyway,
I do too, and I was surprised that she backed out. You know, because I actually had a conversation with her and said, you know, what's your stance on some of these issues? And one of them was, I said, hey, what's your stance on charters? She goes, I absolutely support charter change. I said, well, would you support Madigan? And she goes, well, Madigan's no friend of mine.
Yeah.
And but I don't know if how that translates because, but whatever.
Well, Eileen is very knowledgeable. She was deputy for a while.
She's been around for a long time.
Yeah, and she's a smart lady. And, you know, I did email her and tell her, told her that I was really sorry she didn't run. But anyway, we get back to family affair issues, and we were talking about DPW and the case with Skip's son. But there's also a and Dylan Moran is running against Skip. Skip does have a challenger this year. Dylan is a chemical engineer. Very knowledgeable in infrastructure above and underground. Skip's been in there 10 years. He came in with no experience whatsoever. But in the case, I honestly, and I'm not saying Skip is a bad person. Don't get me wrong. Anybody who runs for office, you have to give them credit for it. They're stepping up. But in this form of government, you don't have to know what you're getting into, because you have a deputy that you can appoint someone that is knowledgeable. Not all the time does it happen. A lot of people appoint friends or
the family affair
or they're told by the party who to appoint. But I don't think he knows how to handle personnel. And again, you go back to some of the lawsuits against the city from DPW workers. In the case of his son, what I would have done was turn it right over to human resource. I would have distanced myself, since he was still working for me, distanced myself from any decision making that I had to make regarding him. But that wasn't done.
No,
he kept his hands on it.
It's surprising, during that same time frame, the woman who was running HR got yet another mystery raise, like some of these people are getting, you know, five figure
raises.
You know, and then they turn out, they're turning a blind eye to Scirocco's son.
Sure.
You know, and let's face it, the job requirements mean you have to have a valid driver's license. How do you have a driver's license when you've got, you're charged with DWI? I mean, the kid blew 0.18.
And that's very high.
It's
three times the legal limit.
Yeah, and so what happens, we give them the chauffeur. The HR person should have been able to be in an environment that should have said, this is wrong. Reassign him to something else. Do whatever you got to do, but he can't be out there, you know. But now we're paying someone to drive him around. That's
right.
Not in the best interest of the city.
No.
Again, family affair.
Family affair. It exposes the city to liability.
Yep.
Maybe a legal liability. If some citizens wanted to make a big deal about that, they probably would have had a good chance, a good shot. Now, I was told, here again, this is all hearsay on my part. I can't back it up with facts. I only believe the person because he worked in DPW.
Yeah.
He was more than an employee. And he told me that there were DPW personnel that drove heavy equipment that didn't have their CDL licenses, that had just a regular D license, which is number one against the law. Number two, you get in an accident, I mean, the city can be sued up the wazoo, as well as the driver, because they know that they're not supposed to drive. Now, he may have been told to drive that vehicle, and when you get orders from your boss, it's hard to say no, especially in Saratoga, and still keep your job.
Well, what about that story about that kid that was driving down on Division Street, so close to a woman driver, that he ran into her at the traffic light.
No,
right?
Kidding.
Yeah. So this girl's just driving her car. DPW truck slams into the back of her. The guy continues on, drives around the block, and comes back. Why does he drive around the block to come back? Does he have to get rid of something that was in the vehicle with him? I don't know.
Right.
But it certainly doesn't look right
no.
that the kid drives around, come back to find out the kid doesn't even have a driver's license. Whose fault is that? Is it the kid's fault? Absolutely. But is it a responsibility of the city to protect the citizens of the of this community by doing the necessary background checks, making sure these guys have the license? They actually get a feed from the DMV to talk about these people who have, you know, again, taking city vehicles and put them in motion, whether it's the wrong licensing or a license at all. It's a big deal. It's a big violation. The city's lucky. I don't think the woman sued the city, but she should have.
Yeah.
Because you've got a guy out in the street with a city vehicle running into people with no license.
Well, once a year, where I work, once a year they pull an abstract of your license. They ask you, have you been in an accident in the last year? You say no. You have to sign a piece of paper, and you say no. Have you ever been caught speeding or arrested for DWI? You say no. Then they pull an abstract from DMV.
Yeah, that's what I meant. The abstract.
Which shows any marks on your license, and if you lie, or it shows you don't have a license, or you were arrested for operating a car unregistered or uninsured, you don't work for the outfit anymore.
Right.
So.
Well, but Rick, you sit down and you think about it. When someone runs for office, they ask for the entitled responsibility that comes with that office. But because of that responsibility, they have that responsibility to protect you as a taxpayer from these. Go in and ask how many lawsuits we've had in the last 10 years, right? How many lawsuits has the city had in 10 years, and how many have they won or lost? It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
I mean, we just gave our city attorney a $60,000 raise. Look how many we've lost.
Well, and I'll tell you, 9 out of 10 times, they hire outside attorneys.
And then, don't worry about the insurance company's going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Really? We don't pay premiums?
Every time we use an attorney, whether it's a city attorney or an outside attorney, to go to court, our insurance goes up, whether we win or lose.
We've lost most of it.
Right. And the city taxpayers have to pay that. Which leads me now to the word taxes. And I want to know why a city the size of Saratoga Springs hasn't had a tax increase in almost 10 years.
We've politicized. It's a political weapon, tax increases. It's political. We've weaponized it to a point where name one person that's voted to raise taxes that's got reelected. Because we've made such a big deal about, oh, we haven't raised our taxes. But if you look at the financial spending of this city, it's embarrassing. We've had such a wonderful economic boom in this community for a long time, and yet we're spending down the rainy day fund.
That's right.
How can that possibly be true? That you're sitting there, a city that the values of the houses are gone way up. There's been a tremendous influx of purchasing. We've built new buildings. We've all kinds of development over the last 6 or 8 years, and we're still spending our deficit fund. How come we do that? How can you stand in front of the public going, oh, I haven't raised your taxes. I've depleted our savings program, and you know we've had record numbers of development and sales tax opportunities here in the city, and we're spending down the rainy day fund.
Right.
How does that happen?
Well, we have Michelle Madigan as our commissioner of finance, who, as you said, likes to stand up and say, I haven't raised taxes in 10 years. And, you know, we have such a good income base, which we do. But I think last year or between 2017 and 2018, our sales tax revenue decreased only by 1%, but that's a lot of money.
Sure it is.
I think the hotel tax has gone down 1.5%. Something's going on in Saratoga. I have to say this because when I moved up here, Saratoga was rebuilding and redefining itself from an August place to be to a year-round place to be. And, you know, it's gotten so big now that it's lost. There is no more city in the country. I mean, there's absolutely no. As a matter of fact, you look around in a 50-mile radius, there probably is no country left. It's a housing development.
Yeah, and there you go. You would think that there'd be this incredible amount of influx of revenue that we'd have. We could actually, instead of talking about a tax increase or not, tax credit back to the people who have been longtime taxpayers. But our budgeting process here, it's in the dark. You're mm-hmm. never made aware of it. You know, you look at the impact. There's never a report that says, oh, you know, we had a great year, 2017, with record number of building permits and the taxes paid by these new property owners and so forth. No, there's no report on that. All we talk about is, like, I'm not going to raise your taxes. Jesus, I hope not, for obvious reasons. They should be rolling in dough, but they're not. No. Because they're spending money like drunken sailors.
So what happens in this scenario, as I was told by a couple past finance commissioners and a few CPAs, is what's going to happen is at some point in Saratoga's history, which probably isn't too far in the, you know, mm-hmm. too far away, we're going to be hit hard.
Oh, sure you are.
We are going to pay for no taxes increase for 10 years. We are going to pay for it. And people look at Saratoga and say, man, you're one of the wealthiest cities in the state, and you want to know something? A federal investigation, not an investigation, but a study was done. Saratoga Springs, the city, is number 3 in the state of income disparity. We are now a tourist destination, and along with that comes a lot of workers that don't make a living, a wage. Right. Your cooks, your dishwashers, your waitresses. I mean, we are a city of restaurants to service.
But we've also got a government that's, you know, archaic.
Oh, you can't regulate anything.
You know, the thing is code blue. I mean, here's, you know, people struggling to keep this thing going. Where's the city involved in that? Nowhere to be found. Affordable housing. You know, there's projects that are coming online. They had nothing to do with City Hall. They did it themselves. You know, of course, every politician that's in office right now is going to take credit for all this, all the things that are happening in Saratoga, but they don't do anything to really generate the applause. And you're right, people coming and trying to work here can't do it.
Well, you know, one of the things that that we had said, and I said quite a bit, and the radio shows when I had guests on, that Saratoga would still be in its pre-1980s days if it wasn't for the Northway having 3 exits off to come into Saratoga. If we didn't have the Northway, we just had 9 as the main road.
It looked like South Glens Falls.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what we would have. We would not have what we have now.
Remember, we got that with those 3 exit ramps in the 60s, and it didn't take us until the 80s to try to, with Saratoga Plan of Action, to actually get things running again. So, but again, it goes back to, you know, the baloney that happens inside City Hall. Let me give you a statistic, and I'm going to give the real statistic. It needs a little bit more research. But while Michelle Madigan and Skip Scirocco have been in office, we lose millions, tens of millions of gallons of treated water. It goes in the ground. Now, Mrs. Madigan is our internal auditor, she alleges.
Well.
Should she not be saying to Scirocco, hey, buddy, we're pumping millions and millions of treated water into the ground somewhere, or it's being used by people who do not have a meter? How can you let that happen? How can you let that happen?
That's
we
right.
pay, as taxpayers, pay to get that water treated, yet it never arrives at its final destination. You know what? That costs a lot of money.
And still taxes don't go up.
Exactly. You know, yeah, that's right. You know? But the thing is they use that, I'm not going to raise your taxes, to get the political bang for their buck.
That's right.
When in reality, you look at City Hall. Who's responsible for making sure you have the right amount of insurance? What do we get, like $4 million for all the problems at City Hall? Now
yeah.
we're going to spend close to $12 million, and I still think it's going to be even higher than that by the time all is said
probably,
and done.
And I'll tell you, someone inside City Hall told me they really didn't need to repair all of City Hall. There wasn't that much damage.
They're all making themselves nice offices.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Michelle Madigan had this famous $750,000 bathroom.
That's right.
I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens. Oh, I'm not going to raise your taxes. I'm just going to spend your money behind the scenes frivolously and not address the real necessary issue of, okay, so if I haven't raised taxes in 8 years, does that mean our expenses have stayed completely flat?
Oh, exactly.
I mean, possibly.
No, your union contracts go up every year. Yep. I mean, they may negotiate every 3 years, but your retirement benefits, your insurance benefits, your salaries go up every single year. And we don't raise taxes to cover even a small, and I'm not saying when we raise taxes, put 7%, you know, a year or whatever, add 1% every other year, or every 3 years. I mean, houses, go up in price all the time.
It's just poor management. It's weaponizing. City Hall weaponizes political issues so that they can get reelected.
Right.
So, oh, yeah, I haven't raised your taxes. I've spent down the rainy day fund. I've been busy doing things that mean absolutely nothing, not getting anything done. I'll give you a couple examples. The mayor's office and Madigan have now signed a contract regarding Smart City. Great idea. Smart City's a great idea. How we did it? Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. We have a 30-year contract, 30 years, I mentioned 30-year contract in place with a vendor that has no major projects in this country yet. And on top of the 30-year contract, at the 30-year renegotiation point, the only way the contract will not terminate,
kick in, right?
We have no say in that. The vendor gets to decide if they want another 30-year contract. What I do want you to do, if you get a chance, read the contract. In it, it talks about that here's this company that's never really done a Saratoga size project before, and all our we've given away the public right of way that we normally got $560,000 from Time Warner. Madigan's giving it away, right. Running it in the sewers. What's called micro trenching is not a good idea in the North Country because of the freeze and so
right.
forth. And then the responsibility. But the part I love the most is that if this company is called Sci-Fi, were to somehow have troubles lighting the fiber optic cables, they have 120 days to repair it. 120 days.
Now this is for
internet.
Not
120 hours. 120 days. So if there's a break in the line, of
right.
course they're going to squabble whose fault it was, or the DPW snow plow, or
sure.
back pressure in the but they have they're obligated to fix it within 120 days. Can you live without internet for 120 days?
No.
Not today. 120 hours.
Not even 120 hours.
You know.
My God, my wife would pass out if yeah. when it flutters for a while.
So why would a city attorney sign a contract that is so lopsided and so disproportionate? You know, I was in technology for a long part of my career. This is the worst contract I've ever read. I would love to be that company.
It's the form of government, stupid. No, I didn't mean that, but. One of the things too is, and you mentioned it, but it needs repeating, is that we are giving up $500,000 a year by doing this. We don't own the equipment, the cables that are underground to bring this internet service. We'll have to pay for the internet service if you have it in your house. But we lose $500,000 in income a year, and I'll bet you $2 right now that our taxes won't go up.
Oh, that's right. Your taxes won't go up. The challenging part about that telecom deal is they don't bring it to your house. They're going to bring it maybe down your street.
Right. But you've got to bring it.
You're going to have to have another, what they call, internet service provider, an ISP. And oh, by the way, this company will not divulge who they have selected. Now, we're giving them the keys to the kingdom for 60 years. And if for some reason we get upset and we want to cancel the contract, we have to pay that company all of their expenses plus 10%. Is that good management?
Nah.
We can spend our time, you know, doing all these various things, but we can't do job one. In 2013 or 14, Madigan and Scirocco said, we'll get a recycling program. Guess what they said this year? We got to get a recycling program. You know, how many years does it take for people to say, you know what, a recycling program? I was in these mountain villages in Italy. You know, you had to climb hundreds of feet to get there or ride on the back of a burro to get the supplies up there. Sure. But you know what they had there? A recycling plant. In the middle of rural, you know, Italy, but we can't get it here in Saratoga Springs.
You know, we're going to go on with this in future shows just to kind of get so people can get a handle on who's running in that. And we're at the end of the show, but I do want to just mention the races, Pat. Yeah. And then we'll go, we've got a lot more to talk about these candidates. They'll be on the shows. For mayor, we have incumbent Meg Kelly, who's the Democrat, and she's going to be opposed by Tim Holmes. For accounts, John Frank, a Democrat, is running unopposed. For finance is the oft-mentioned Michelle Madigan, who's running on the Democrat ticket, and Patty Morrison, who's a Democrat, and they'll be in a primary in June to decide who will be on the ballot in November. For Department of Public Safety, we have Kendall Hicks, and we have who is the Democrat candidate, and Robin Dalton, real estate agency for Ruin Realty, is the Republican candidate. And then for DPW, we have Skip Scirocco, the incumbent Republican, and Dylan Moran is running on the Democrat ticket. And you'll hear a lot more about these people because a lot of the newcomers have the specialties in the positions they're running for. So, Pat, you know, thank you.
My pleasure.
We'll have a great Saturday, and we'll see everybody next week.
Thank you.